So, it seems like we are destined, for once, to have some good news. Well, I mean, mostly good for drivers. You know, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, especially at the moment.
You want to take a guess as to who's having the bad news?
No, it's not Jack Doohan. It's Max Verstappen again.
Would he?
Max's future has been tied to Red Bull for so long, but after a catastrophic race filled with mistakes from the team, which hindered his progress, him having to settle for a somewhat distant P6, a hard-fought P6, by the way, against Gasly, I can't imagine the catharsis going on under Pierre's helmet at the time, the talks around Verstappen's contract rose up again that weekend, stronger than ever. And as Christian Horner would point out when asked, every driver has clauses in their deals. Yeah, that's absolutely true. That applies to pretty much everybody up and down the grid. But Max's, it's a little bit complicated, and there are probably numerous of these clauses for different sorts of conditions. But it seems like the one that I think is the most familiar and conventional, it was what Sebastian Vettel used to be able to break his contract to move to Ferrari, is the outside the top three clause, which may be a little bit more, reactive than we may have expected. In his paperwork, it might not be, according to reports, set at the end of the year for discussions, but after a significant period of time. With George Russell just 6 points behind him, McLaren looking imperious up front, Ferrari finding their feet slowly but surely, and then to top it all off, and this is a really big alarm bell, Red Bull losing their edge when it comes to pit stops, one of their jewels in their crown, in fact, the jewel in their crown amongst some people. There is speculation that the summer break will be a very important moment in Red Bull's history. Helmut Marko also asserting that that time in the F1 season is going to be crucial to be able to understand where Red Bull is going to be going, which also includes maybe the future of Max Verstappen with that team. Everybody's been talking about, oh, Max Verstappen may not be there anymore next year. Well, how about the idea that maybe by the time of the summer break, if things don't buck up and he falls back outside the top three, then maybe he leaves this year? Well, the big question there is, well, where exactly? Would he probably just take the rest of the year off to focus on his new family? Because, you know, he and Kelly Piquet are about to have a kid of their own, so that probably would be a good thing to try and distract yourselves and then regroup. But in just terms of overall racecraft and competency, Bahrain, this statement track, which the last 2 years really heralded in a period of domination for the team, it's not happened this time around. It's a really big, glaring alarm bell. And with Aston Martin looking incredibly feeble right now, I wouldn't be surprised if Adrian Newey is tasked to get on the phone with his old friend and talk him around to something. Of course, there is a chance Bahrain was a blip and Max does remain in the top three, having much better luck around Jeddah. But it's evident that he will have to do the heavy lifting once again. The emergency meetings are not proving to be working as rapidly as he or Red Bull hoped. Now look, I am not willing Max Verstappen to leave Red Bull, but the fact of the matter is though, is that the performance of the RB21 is very much all over the place. Suzuka, distant memory, but it shows there is some speed in there. But at the same time, Bahrain, which should easily be a track where Red Bull are pretty solid at, maybe not going for a win, but a snifter of a podium if the strategy's alright, it was just simply not there. And it was mostly lost or hindered by pit stop failures. That is unlike Red Bull. Surely you've got to notice that. Jonathan Wheatley's presence, like I said in my winners and losers video, it's really starting to show the effects because those sorts of foul-ups on the technical level wouldn't have happened, probably, under Wheatley's supervision. This is the kind of stuff that could easily lose wins and championships. However, that leads me to some potential good news stories regarding contracts. Sure, Max is not having a good time of it at Red Bull, but it seems like Alpine are taking some initiative for once. In reports from paddock sources, Flavio Briatore has been allegedly overruled in regards to the future of Jack Doohan. A grace period, as the reports from Crash.net said, and that maybe he might have until the summer break to be able to prove whether or not he deserves to see out the entire year. Now, I can immediately say, good, well done. I'm glad that Alpine's management team has actually managed to grow a spine and told Flavio that, hey, no, you can't always have it your own way. I know the Renault CEO, Luca De Meo, basically said, you're the boss, you can do whatever you want. But it seems like the race-going side of operations, you know, the one who actually go to the tracks and spend many hours developing the car and actually being involved in how the car goes, they've seen Jack Doohan up close and they clearly, according to these reports, like what they see. that, according to the fundamentals, doing is doing the business. Oliver Oakes has decided that, hey, wait a minute, I'm the team principal of this operation. I say Jack stays for a little bit longer. We will have to wait and see what happens when we get to the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix and see whether or not Jack Doohan is in the second seat. But this report is making for some really hopeful and optimistic reading. But also, I can equally see that Flavia Briatore is absolutely fuming right now. And I'm pretty sure he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders himself, because let's not forget, Franco Colapinto was secured from Williams for reportedly somewhere between $15 to $20 million for a 5-year loan deal. And I'm pretty sure that came with a lot of assertions to Argentinian sponsors like Mercado Libre that signed on to Alpine that, oh, don't worry, Franco will be in the car very soon. Don't worry, I guarantee it, absolutely. And if that's the case and Jack is in the car for the entire season, that's 1 year of that deal gone. And that's not good. That's a few million dollars to spend around going testing, which they are also paying for. It's great for Franco. It's great for Williams. But I'm pretty sure the sponsors won't be too pleased that potentially their man will not be in that car as early as they would have liked. So I'm pretty sure Briatore is not in a good mood right now. I'm pretty sure he will be pushing back. Oliver Oakes won this time, but I don't think this is over. But for now, I think this is pretty good news, and I'm pretty sure that my Australian audience is very happy at the moment with Oscar Piastri doing the business at the front, and Jack Doohan getting to spend a few more races trying to recover and really find his groove with Alpine, which reportedly, according to Oakes, he is actually able to do. And especially since I then found out that Oscar Piastri was just 3 laps short of securing his first ever Grand Slam in Formula One, something which, by the way, Lando Norris has also failed to achieve. And to be fair, this is a really incredibly hard feat to achieve, the Grand Chelem or Grand Slam, which is pole, fastest lap, win, and leading every single lap of the race. Yeah, Max Verstappen, I think, has only done it like 5 or 6 times. Jim Clark, who holds the record, not in double figures. It's really difficult, and Oscar came this close to doing it. And another person who might be chipper is George Russell. The talk of the town at the moment amongst the paddock is really buzzing around the guy with discussions regarding his contract. It's not what many people think, that Toto Wolff's just going to say, oh, I'm sorry, George, you've done so well. You're basically the dark horse of the championship, but still you're not good enough, and I want Max in my back pocket, and I want him to go up with Kimi in the car. I want Max in the car alongside Kimi in the car. No, it's positive discussions. Like I thought so. Russell being lined up for a second contract extension and with an option. A 2+1 deal is being considered if rumours are to be believed, and this is a rather good deal, especially with talks of Verstappen mounting, many speculating that Russell would indeed be sacrificed by Toto. This report flies in the face of all that. And considering how well Kimi Antonelli is really getting into his groove and actually sort of pushing back against that 3-stop strategy in Bahrain, him not really agreeing to it, and it did compromise his race, and then also, yes, I know Max Verstappen was in a very compromised car, Kimi able to cleanly and competently and slickly at turn 4, again, I love this corner now. Kimi is the Italian Stappen, and why would you want two of them when you've already got one who is honed and crafted to be speaking the Mercedes way? And I recall a quote that George said that say, oh, they checked my DNA and my, it wasn't DNA after all. I was actually AMG. I'm thinking that's a cold quote. He believes Mercedes, George. He is speaking from the company Bible. I think there will be a contract for Kimi sometime soon. And I do think that George will get this extension because these two are Mercedes Junior alumni. However, it does leave the door open for Max maybe eventually, if either Kimi or George wishes to move on come the end of 2028, if Max decides to see out his entire Red Bull deal, because I seriously at the moment didn't think that Max will be extending that deal anytime soon. Maybe 2029 he might go to Mercedes to see out the rest of his career or something like that, especially if Mercedes really hit the ground running with these new regulations. So it remains to be seen. There is an opportunity, but it's been kicked down the road for about maybe 3 years or something like that. For now, George and Kimi, I think Mercedes are quite peachy, especially with the fact that Toto is just really looking at his lineup, and it was manifested ironically from him dropping the ball with Max, and then the Mercedes Junior team exists, and now it's produced 2 really good drivers who speak the word of Mercedes, they speak the word of Toto, they are completely in sync with the way that the brand works. It's all gravy. Why would you spoil that when you've just got it going? Those two really get on. At least for now. And in terms of getting on, we get on with the track itself. The Cornish circuit is in a country where it is very, very questionable, but as a circuit in its own right and in games, it has evolved into a very entertaining one. One that has been granted the likes of the C3, C4, C5 tyres, which means that we are definitely going to be having a two-stopper session, which we saw in Bahrain turned out to be pretty exciting, and none of that blasted C1 tyre. Seriously, we do not need to see that again, and I really hope Pirelli takes a leap out of what we saw in Japan and the like. Give us the C2 at most. The weather is expected to be hovering around the upper 20s, humidity around 50% or so, winds 10 miles an hour, so it might be quite sticky, but not terribly so. And with McLaren basically tearing apart the form book around Bahrain, no circuit is safe from this car, it being the likely best car. Provided it's in clean air, of course, with analysis from last time out suggesting that Norris's fight back was hampered considerably by maybe 0.3 per lap when compared to Piastri. Which means that basically both McLarens need to be right at the front to be able to push each other forward and then leave everyone for dust if one of them gets stuck behind. So say, for example, if it was Oscar in P6 and Lando leading, it might have been a completely different story. But the fact of the matter is, though, you have to do it in qualifying. Lando didn't do it. Oscar did. There you go. I'd be saying the same thing if the roles were reversed. It is very clear that this McLaren works wonderfully in clean air, but if it's not, then it's just like everybody else. It has some limitations. And I remember back in that boat of an MCL60, Oscar got that car into Q3, whereas Lando made a mistake. Lando's lot will be a little bit trickier than we might have expected. I think that maybe he might mount a fight back, but the odds are stacked against him. As for the rest of the field, it's a bit of a mixed set of fortunes. Ferrari has responded well to the floor upgrade, which brought the team back into play for the constructors somewhat, at least not being left for dust by Red Bull, so third is definitely possible again. That team is looking very uncertain right now, with the only consolation being that the second car driven by Yuki Tsunoda is doing what is expected. Quote by Christian Horner, a reasonable job, because Yuki did do the business and managed to secure Red Bull's first double points finish of the season. Yeah, I shouldn't be praising that for Red Bull, but this is where we are right now. And also, I completely didn't notice this after paying attention to make sure that their light actually worked properly, that Yuki Tsunoda did one lap better than George Russell on soft tyres, and he was still able to keep in relatively close distance to Ocon. So he was on fading tyres, he kept other people, including the likes of Behrmann and co, behind him. That was a really solid effort, and it does show that Tsunoda is slowly gaining some momentum with that car. What they're doing there is indeed working, that second car is doing the business. And considering that Max Verstappen only got a sixth place, those extra 2 points from Yuki, you know, a nice little earner that might not have been there had Lawson remained in the car. And if Max does up sticks this year or next, Yuki might mount a push to become the team leader, by all surprise, a newfound source of calm amidst the crisis. If not, at least he and Max are on the same page and that more work needs to be done to repair the team's standing. It is a good lineup, a constructive one, I reckon. A track also where I believe that Yuki will score again. I don't think it's going to be a huge amount of points again. It will be towards the bottom end of the top 10. But again, right now, Red Bull just needs to get some points. Damage limitations. So far, Yuki's done the job. Whilst at the same time, Yuki's trying to tame the RB21 in his own way. The rest of the pack, well, right now, it is a straight-up duel between Haas, Alpine and Williams when it comes for a chance to score. Gasly, Albon and Ocon, they're solid bets for more points for their team, with Alex having been denied a chance of scoring thanks to that incredibly late decision to delete Hülkenberg's lap time in a completely different qualifying session. Understandably, Albon saw it as a missed opportunity, and that maybe points were on the cards. He did rise up back to 12th, not that far off 10th place that Behrmann got. So if he can get a decent qualifying performance, and he does get through to Q3, or at least the top end of Q2, then maybe we could see Albon getting some more points and trying to clap back against Haas, which took 5th place from the constructors away from them. Not that I think that Williams are that bothered. I mean, it's a nice little bonus, but they are thinking about next year. But again, having the temptation of 5th place right there and you earned it on merit, that surely is a nice little earner for the likes of Williams. But again, that's not their priority. Alpine, they're going to go for it. Haas, they're going to go for it. I think Williams might just pump the brakes and go say, you know what, you just develop yourself into a corner, we'll just focus on next year, okay? And if Pierre can repeat a Q3 cameo this weekend, he does stand a good chance of remaining there. And I do feel like Ocon and Dubber will do good as well. That 10th place from Oliver gifted Haas 5th place at round 4. So, you know, a very significant moment for that team. Many people thinking that Esteban and Oliver would have torn each other apart. It's not happened now. Haas are in a good place at the moment, and good for them.
And right now, I really just think it's between those three teams for points, because at the moment, Aston Martin are nowhere. Fernando Alonso has still not been able to score. It's almost like Valtteri Bottas last year all over again. And the Racing Bulls, I mean, I don't know what's happened to them. I thought the V-Cub was a really stable position and a platform. It didn't turn out to be the case in Bahrain, and I don't know what's going to happen in Jeddah. So it's a little bit, you know, topsy-turvy in that regard. But what I do find quite strong and stable is the matter about my top five predictions for the 2025 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. And here they are! Now, you might be thinking this is recency bias and I am basically fanboying over my boy. But you've really got to look at past form, and Oscar Piastri does stand a really good chance of winning this year's Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Him going from 15th in 2023 to 4th place last year. A win is certainly, I think, on the cards. And he is arriving at this Grand Prix with a huge commanding momentum going his way. And last year, he was really attuned to the circuit and he did do a decent job in an MCL 38, which hadn't quite got its Miami upgrade, which really cemented it as the class of the field. They weren't quite there yet, McLaren, and yet he still was able to get in touching distance of a podium. And part of this momentum has something to do with the fact that he has become the first repeat winner of 2025, and again, coming this close to getting his first ever Grand Slam. And I am noticing more and more often that Australian media is starting to talk about him. I'm pretty sure that in the not-too-distant future, they'll be wheeling out their last world champion, Alan Jones from 1980, to talk about recent events, and maybe they might get Daniel Ricciardo on the blow and say, "Oh yeah, I know Oscar, oh no, he's a really good guy, and I hope that he can do something I wasn't able to do, good. You know, I just want them to be a Red Bull. That'd be nice." And then to finish it all off, he's only 3 points behind Lando. He's been able to completely turn around Australia, where he lost so many points. And had he been able to finish behind Lando Norris, you know, in second place, he'd be now 13 points ahead in the championship. If he had won that race, his home race, he'd be 20. Almost an entire Grand Prix distance, and we're not even at Europe yet. That is a really foreboding thought, which Lando probably is quite grateful did not transpire. Bahrain was a really good time, their most successful race there ever, in front of one of their major shareholders, so it was a really, really good time. And with Jeddah, it's been just as elusive, with McLaren never bothering the podium finishes, and I definitely think that both of them will end up on the dais this time around, with Oscar leading the charge. Because I think it's quite obvious that Piastri's synergy with this team is completely at one. He is finding his foot with this car really, really quickly. And this technical circuit, which again is incredibly fun, will be very much his jam. He's already liking this track from previous outings last couple of years. So that means I really think that if the car's with him and he believes in the car and the pace is there and he can get a good qualifying position, he's probably going to try and do that same commanding leadership of the race all over again. And also having to deal with the likes of the safety car, because I'm pretty sure we are going to see that a couple of times. So based on previous form and the way he is right now, really finding his groove and the world really started to recognize his potential, I can't not put him on the top spot based on what we've seen. Because this is a very difficult circuit, you have to have the car underneath you, and that's why I think he probably will be finishing ahead of Lando Norris by probably double figures, 10-15 seconds or something. But in the case of Norris, you can't rule him out entirely because he is good, but he has shown time and time again that he's just not clicking with this car. Clicking well enough to be second place in my estimations, but probably not having a close enough gap between Oscar to try and be able to curry favour from his team. Papaya rules will rule out and will not be in his favour. Sure, he can extract speed from that car. I don't think he's going to be off the podium, not at all. It really depends on what he does in qualifying, and I'm quite certain he will be doing his damnedest to make sure that he extracts every single millisecond as possible to try and keep within the front row, or at worst, the second row, to be able to get a really good start. But the pressure is starting to get to him, and this is kind of something I've been seeing for a very long time now, in that maybe he was really focusing on trying his best to be able to steel himself up against the likes of Max Verstappen, that maybe he got distracted, that maybe he wasn't realizing that the real rival in this championship challenge for 2025 was not Max Verstappen, because right now he's not. It's actually the guy in the other chair. The other guy in the chair who knows the score just as well as Lando does and has seemingly gotten on top of it more. This is very much telegraphing the likes of Senna and Prost. Not in terms of their wins or their championship credentials. I'm talking about Lando establishing the team around himself. Then in comes this brand new guy and completely tears up the conventions book. He's
definitely decent around here. He has been prone to mistakes, but this McLaren is just so good right now. And it was so good around a track that was meant to be one of their not-so-good tracks. No track is safe, really, this season from this MCL39, especially if they keep up this development train and it turns out to be continuously updated and it doesn't hit a stumbling block. All the teams aren't just not able to keep up, or they focus on next year. McLaren does provide him a competitive edge, though, and it just goes to show that if he can clear his mind and he can get the jump on Oscar Piastri and be able to out-qualify him here, this will do him the world of good, and he will definitely go on to try and make use of papaya rules and make sure that he does keep ahead of Oscar. That's going to be very important. But when it comes to who will be joining him on the dais, I am just going to have to pick George Russell once again, because you've just got to look at how feisty this guy is and really wanted to take the challenge to McLaren, and he will be on cloud nine at the moment for the fact that he was actually able to keep one of them behind him on fading, audacious soft tyres. And that was the C3 tyre, which is working really, really well. And this is something to consider as well. This W16 loves the C3 compound, and it's going to be the hard compound around the Corniche circuit. And if they do decide to go for a hard tyre strategy, this might actually be benefiting Russell and really bringing him in touch to stay within maybe a few seconds of Lando Norris. George has also expressed really, really good vibes about this being a good successor to the W15. It's a heck of a lot more consistent, and the results are showing it. He's only 6 points behind Verstappen. Mercedes are well comfortable in second place in the championship, a decent chunk between the dueling Ferrari and Red Bull, who probably might be taking points from one another, leaving Mercedes sitting pretty, with George leading the charge, which is why I do believe those contract talks are real. And having that in the back pocket, and Toto claiming that, yes, our contract deals are done within 24 hours or so, this kind of consistency is what we saw in 2022, and gave Mercedes a little bit of hope that maybe they didn't drop the ball with the W13 too hard, but that faded away. But right now we're seeing it all over again, and if Mercedes can finish the season with just consistency and a solid second place in the constructors, that will be good closure on this really horrible time in this regulation cycle. And this probably is cementing my justification that George will be a dab hand around here, especially on harder compounds, which can easily go a good chunk of a race distance. This will benefit him strongly, I believe. If they can optimize the strategy and make it work, they don't try and be as audacious, they might not need to be, I think George is in a good position for another podium. And then I am going to have to put Charles Leclerc in getting his third, fourth place in a row, close but no cigar, but he is really showing a lot of impetus, a lot of purpose, and a lot of drive, because in Japan he was a distant fourth, in Bahrain he was a close fourth, really giving Lando Norris a little bit of trouble. The upgrades on the Ferrari have proved to be somewhat positive. They are working. They are probably not the absolute magic bullet that Ferrari were hoping for in bringing them back right up to the front, but it certainly kept them from fading even further back. They can trouble Red Bull now, which is going to give Charles Leclerc a little bit of hope, and maybe a little bit more impotence if Lando or Oscar are having a bad day, or Mercedes are simply aren't there, then maybe Ferrari can capitalize on it and keep within the hunt in the top three. And so far, Charles Leclerc is leading the charge. He is taking no prisoners. He is being very, very feisty on the radio, punchy, honest, brutal, raw. He's not putting up with the nonsense that Ferrari are doing right now, in reportedly them hanging on Lewis Hamilton's every word. I am quite sure that Lewis is now finding his own groove, but I'm quite sure that Charles is using this initial momentum to try and justify his position in the team, and getting these fourth place finishes, sure, they're not podiums, but they are a really good, strong message to the team that he is the one they should be backing. Not to mention, he is good around this track. He was one of the constituents of that infamous clash in 2022 around the circuit between he and Verstappen. He definitely has the capabilities of being well within the top five with a good fourth place. If one of the McLarens were to DNF or have a really bad time of it in qualifying, or some kind of damage, or a puncture, or what have you, Charles can easily maybe take a punt on the podium, perhaps. He does have the spirit going for him at the moment, but right now, I can't picture him any higher than four, but he is certainly in a much better state than maybe Max Verstappen right now, because the RB21, him in fifth place, it's a bit of a mixed bag at the moment, because Bahrain was an absolute disaster for Max, him doing everything he can to suffer through a really nasty C1 tyre to finish sixth place, just about finishing ahead of Gasly. That is not somewhere he wants to be, him fighting an Alpine of an ex-teammate who really didn't find favour with that Milton Keynes-based team.
But there is hope that maybe if it does get dialed up right, or things go in their favour and the pit stops actually work as intended, this car is capable of winning races. There is light at the end of the tunnel, but it seems like they got so close to getting out of that tunnel, then suddenly somebody just jerked it in reverse. The team's internal dynamics right now are in absolute jeopardy. We all thought they managed to find some sense of equilibrium, Yuki Tsunoda's arrival providing some sense of calm and a belief that they are working on the car. They probably are working on the car, but maybe not at a pace that Max Verstappen is really finding is suitable or adequate, because this is something he did not need. And this was something that we kind of saw in preseason testing, but we just chalked that up maybe that they were just testing a lot of components, that maybe they were just data gathering, they weren't really going for pace, maybe they were just thinking of what was going to be happening at Albert Park. No, this was a genuine issue that they just couldn't find the pace or momentum that they had the last couple of years at that track. In Jeddah, I feel like it's going to be a very technical circuit, and if Max does not have the confidence that the car is fully behind him, he is not going to be really a good snifter on the podium. He's really not going to be. He's going to really have to give it everything he's got. He's going to have to pull out a qualifying lap akin to Monaco 2023 to be able to get in the top five or something like that. Right now, Red Bull are probably jigging their feet right now at what George Russell is doing, just pumping in the results without really that much concern, whereas Max Verstappen is fighting for his life here. They are going to have to put more resources into Max, but then exacerbates the problem that Max has been complaining about. All of the uncertainties right now, it may impact performance, and that stuff in the pits, that was a really big issue. That is stuff that can compromise the drivers even further. I think it did ruin both Max and Yuki in progressing even further up the grid. It was just a really alarming turn of events, honestly. And I could also imagine that it was alarming for the teams whose cars turned out to be nothing like they hoped for upon debut. To find out which 10 cars I believed were flops when debuted, far below expectations, watch this video next, straight after this one.